So today's sermon, not really going to be a sermon. It's going to be a bit different today and shorter. Caleb is gone, and this Labor Day weekend, I wanted us to take an opportunity to think about an aspect of this holiday briefly and how it actually helps us to think about a biblical concept. So before I talk any further, let's do a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this weekend, for this holiday. I thank you for the reminder that it is of something that you've called us to. I thank you for the chance that even national holidays, even things that are quote-unquote secular, that they can point us to you. And I pray that this time, as we dwell on the concept of rest and looking to you, that it would be a time of encouragement to us, a time of rest, and that we would use this time well. And I pray all this in your name. Amen. Labor Day is set aside to celebrate and honor the working force of America, and to do this by giving the working force a day off, which is a great way to celebrate and to honor them. It is a day of rest and celebration that creates a three-day holiday weekend, and depending on how it's used, a lot of people extend it into an even longer holiday if they've saved up vacation or whatnot, whatever their policy is. Labor Day itself is tomorrow, but did you know that today is actually Labor Sunday? I actually didn't even know this until I started like researching into what is Labor Day and what would be maybe good things to talk about today in this kind of filler week as Caleb and Carolyn are gone. But today is Labor Sunday. Labor Day was first celebrated in 1882 and became a national holiday in 1894. In 1909, the Sunday before Labor Day was adopted as Labor Sunday and is dedicated to the spiritual and educational aspects of labor. There is a history, then, on this day of tying spiritual health and wellness to labor, to work. We recognize and celebrate the workers of America by giving them, us, a day off. We recognize the need for holidays, for rest. In an overly busy culture, where being busy is worn as a badge of honor, and we feel guilty for sitting down too long because we are not being productive. I'm going to pause here. I have that voice in my head literally every time I sit down and I'm not doing something that I should be doing something. And I can bet I'm not the only one if you've been part of our culture for any length of time. We feel guilty for resting. But this holiday is a reminder that we do need rest. We need to take some time off. We need time with family. We need time to do things that we enjoy that we maybe don't regularly have time for. Do we recognize also, as part of this, that we are called to rest by God? We're called to physical and spiritual regular rest by our God and Savior, by our Lord. I would argue that in our overly busy tendencies and productivity of our culture, that this overly busyness, that's not even a word, but this busyness, this need to be productive, to be doing something, this has spilled over into how we understand our spiritual walk with God. We feel guilty if every minute we are not doing something for God. And I emphasize doing because I'm about to talk about being. We feel the need to constantly be doing something for God. We have overinterpreted oftentimes the verse about redeeming the time in Ephesians 5 to mean that we must be busy for God every minute. We must be spiritual superheroes. When in reality, the verse would honestly be better translated and is translated in many translations as redeeming the opportunities, not time. Not every clock minute, but redeeming the opportunities. We are to redeem the opportunities that God gives us to do all our small part in his grand plan. We are not the ones responsible for God's grand plan. We just get to take and have our small part in it. He didn't create us to do it all. We can't. And we find out real quick if we're trying. That we can't. He just asks us to do the best we can where he has put us. He is in control. He is God. We are not. From creation, from Genesis 1 and 2, in the pattern we see there, God exampled for us and calls us to remember this pattern of rest, not just on a yearly basis, but on a weekly basis. He worked 7 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested. And we see this serve as the example that we are to follow as well. We are to regularly rest from our labors, to remember that he is God, and we are not. What is interesting is that this word, that God rested, has a deeper meaning of residing or dwelling, to be at home. God, in a very real sense, settled down on the seventh day. He rested. He chose to abide in the creation he has made. And you see that in his walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. He rested. He dwelt. He had created a place for himself to dwell with man. And then the fall happened. Man chose to rebel. And the fellowship between God and man was ruined. But God still longs to dwell, to rest with man. We saw this in our series through Exodus this winter, and again in Caleb's series through Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, that God has been progressively advancing his plan to dwell completely with man again, to break down the walls of division that sin and rebellion has brought. God is advancing his plan through the old covenant, through the new covenant, and then finally we see his perfection in Revelation. He desires to dwell with his people. Where we are now in God's plan, he dwells with us through his Spirit, who lives in those who have placed their faith in him. He dwells, he lives, he rests in us. He dwells in each of us and longs to have fellowship with us. The call to rest isn't just a call to do nothing. At times, that's what we need. The call to rest is a call to be with God, to take a break from doing and to switch over to being with God. We see this in the Old Covenant very explicitly in how strict he was with what they were and were not to do on the Sabbath, because they were going to find any way possible to sneak in work, to sneak in a sense of control, to sneak in a sense of, I need to be accomplishing something today. And he said, take a break. And as we talked about in Exodus, they had just come out of slavery for hundreds of years. They were not given a break. And their new Lord, their new master, who'd always been their master, but they had been under the physical masters of Egypt, he now had freed them and told them, you're now, in a sense, my slaves, but to my slaves I tell, rest. Be with me. We'll get to how that relates to Jesus' call in a little bit, but he has always called his people to rest, to come to him and find rest. This is a call. In this call to rest, it is a call to celebrate and enjoy the fact that he longs to dwell with us. In researching for the Sunday school class that I just finished today, I realized that Jesus' call in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, where he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is a call from wisdom, is where he is getting that language from. Personified wisdom. Wisdom is calling to those who are weary and burdened and saying, you can find rest in me. We read in Proverbs 3:19 and a few other places that God created the world in wisdom. In wisdom, he set a pattern of rest in creation. In wisdom, he calls us to regular rest. And in wisdom, God calls us to rest in him, to rest our souls from our labors by resting in him. And in Revelation, we see the culmination finally of this call to rest and its reality in the rest of heaven. It is okay to rest. In fact, it is wise. It is a call from wisdom to rest and rest regularly. We were not created to do it all. So much of my life, and this was again more caught than taught explicitly, but so much of my life I have felt guilty that I am not Paul, the apostle, doing everything. Which, by the way, is interesting because what we read of Paul is parts of his life, the highlight reel. He was a very busy man, but we don't have every minute of his life. But we feel that that highlight reel is what every minute of our life ought to be. I felt that guilt that I wasn't Paul, but I am not Paul. I am Michael, or Mike, or whatever you want to call me. That's who I am, and that is who God called me to be, because it's who he created me to be. He didn't create me as Paul a couple thousand years ago with the mission that Paul had. I have the mission and the opportunities that I have where I am. The God who calls us to obey and to serve him wants first and foremost our love. He wants us. He wants to dwell and to be with us. It is okay to need a break. It is okay to need a nap. It is okay to not be able to do it all. These are all things that remind us that we are human, and that is how we are created. The limitations of being human are not entirely part of the fall. Some of them are, but not the reality, the essence of being human, of having limits, of needing God, of needing people. The fact that we cannot do it all, the fact that we need regular rest, reminds us that we are the created beings who need the Creator, and who are made also for fellowship with each other. We can't do this alone. We need God, and we need each other. So with that all being said, I would like to take what is normally the rest of the sermon time and have us all break up into groups to pray for about 5 to 10 minutes. And these groups can be families, they can be those sitting around you, or if you need to just pray by yourself, it can be just you. I will leave that up to you. But I will then close this time in prayer before we sing a few more songs. I would like us all to pray that we would find ways, whatever ways that work for our various schedules and lives. Rest, Sabbath looks different for everybody. All of our schedules are different. But I would like us to pray that we would purposely find ways to plan to rest, to spend time with God. I'd also like to pray, in light of the calendar placement of this weekend is a transition into the busy last few months of the year. As school starts for many, and for all, holidays and activities are coming one after the other. It seems like they just keep a steady drumbeat the rest of the year. I would like us to pray that we find ways to purposefully plan to have at least a little bit of margin in our lives, to purposely plan to not just do, but to also to have time to be with God. I would also like us to pray with God about the struggles that we may anticipate having in these coming months of busyness, and to pray for God to help us in these struggles. Maybe the struggles at school, maybe it is struggles in work as year-end things finish up. Maybe it is struggles with family relationships as you anticipate family gatherings. Or maybe it is struggles that you already are feeling because you have realized you need more rest and margin in your life. Whatever it is, whatever the struggle is, times of prayer and rest can be times when you think and pray through these struggles with God. Because it will only be a few minutes, rather than taking requests from each other, unless you were able to do this really quickly, what might be best is, especially if you have a large group or a number of people that you are praying with, for each person to simply pray for themselves and the struggles that they anticipate having. And through that, you will essentially be letting other people know how they can pray for you as well. But whatever works best for your group, but I would encourage not to take too much time for requests, but to spend most of it praying. Again, focusing on the call to rest and to be with God, to realize that we are human and that's okay, because he made us that way. He made us to need him because we do. And also to pray through with God struggles, whether current or anticipated. And after a few minutes, I will come up and close this time of prayer with a prayer, and then we'll sing a few more songs, and then we will close in prayer. So let's pray. As we transition out of this time of prayer, as we transition back into singing, that will help us to continue to dwell on our need to rest with God, how we were created to find rest in God. We're actually going to switch two of the songs at the end of the bulletin here. We're going to switch 435 and 430. We're going to be singing 435 next. But first, what I want to do is, just as a prayer to close this time of prayer together, I want to pray through the words of 435 as Jessica plays the music behind me. So I want us all to pray this song together, and then Kurt will come up and lead us as we sing the song after we pray it. Dear Lord, we need you every hour. You are our most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptation loses its power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee every hour, most holy one. O make me thine indeed, thou blessed son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.